Welcome to episode 10 of Nuggets for Vet Nurses, where we transmit infectious droplets of clinically relevant information to our educationally susceptible nurses. I'm Marcus Taylor.
And I'm Esther Fan, both Kiwis, and now from both sides of the equator, we are your show hosts. That was a spin on your usual spiel, Marcus. Are you trying to hint at something in particular?
I sure am. I'm just whetting our nurses' appetites for a conversation about kennel cough.
Kennel cough? Those are everyday bread and butter cases of general practice, right, nurses? I'm not sure they're drooling to know more on the subject, Marcus.
Oh, but you should be, nurses, because don't you get asked about causes and symptoms on a regular basis? How effective are the vaccines anyway? And aren't the different vaccines and their schedules confusing? Have we got a feast for you today?
Okay, well, let's start with the entrees. What is kennel cough exactly?
Kennel cough is an infection caused by a bunch of bacteria and viruses. Most famously, the Bordetella bronchoceptor bacteria and the canine parainfluenza virus.
Ah, so that's why some vaccines have the letters BB and PI, or start with bronchi.
That's right. Those pathogens cause inflammation in the upper respiratory tract, that is, around the throat region, resulting in that classic hacking cough with a retch at the end.
How does that sound like again?
Is that right?
I think so.
Nice.
This retch, or gag, can be misinterpreted as vomiting, especially if some saliva or froth is brought up. It also can sound like the dog has something stuck in the throat and cause owners to panic. I usually ask owners if their dog has had something to eat since it started coughing, and usually the answer is yes, which means there can't be something obstructing the throat, and then they settle down. That's the owner, I mean, not the dog.
The infection usually self-resolves in a couple of weeks, but dogs should be kept at home in COVID-style isolation until they stop coughing, because this is how the disease is transmitted. In fact, they probably got kennel cough from being coughed on by an infected dog at the dog park or at a friend's house or in the kennels, kind of like how COVID or the common cold is transmitted.
And despite being called KC or kennel cough, it's not just a disease associated with kennels.
Exactly.
Question. My dog had to show proof of vaccination to board at the kennels whilst I took a sneaky trip to Lapland or something. And then I came back and 2 weeks later he was coughing and I was told he had kennel cough. Did the vaccine not work?
A good question and a common question. Remember that nothing is 100%, especially when it comes to certain vaccines. Kennel cough vaccines are effective. They significantly reduce the chances of becoming infected. And if Rufus is unlucky enough to get infected, they reduce the morbidity, that is how sick he becomes. Just like COVID, vaccinations reduce the risk of catching it and keep you out of ICU if you do most of the time. So it's definitely worth getting the kennel cough jab.
Speaking of jabs, some kennel cough vaccines aren't even needles anymore. They're intranasal and oral kennel cough vaccines now, right? What's the difference and which one is better?
This requires us to pay a visit to the world of immunology.
Ugh, immunology was so confusing in second year vet school.
I know, but it's important in our understanding. And don't worry, we won't stay long. Injectable kennel cough vaccines produce systemic immunity, that is, antibodies in the bloodstream.
Remember, antibodies are proteins that help fight infection.
These antibodies, called IgG, float around in the bloodstream and then leak out or exit into the upper respiratory tract mucosa when there is an infection. Two injections are needed 4 weeks apart. The second should be at or over 12 weeks of age. Immunity develops about 7 to 10 days after the second vaccination and it lasts 12 months.
Okay, so what about the ones that go up the nose or into the mouth?
Intraoral or intranasal kennel cough vaccines produce mucosal or local immunity, i.e. antibodies in the mucosa. Kennel cough pathogens enter the body through the oral or nasal mucosa. When they do, they find these antibodies, named IgA, already there, ready for the fight. Therefore, immunity develops faster, that is within about 3 to 7 days, and it's considered superior. In addition, only one dose is needed at 8 weeks or older for oral vaccines. Intranasal vaccine can be given as young as 3 weeks of age. However, in most circumstances, we won't see or vaccinate them until about 8 weeks. Like the injectable vaccines, yearly boosters are required.
They sound great, except when you have to give them to a dog that is trying to bite your head off or is so excited about its existence on Earth that it won't sit still. So I'm glad we still have the options of injectable in those cases. So, in summary, kennel cough is an infectious upper respiratory disease caused by a few different bacteria and viruses. Kennel cough vaccines are effective in reducing the risk and severity of infection, but don't prevent infection altogether. And compared to injectable kennel cough vaccines, intranasal or oral vaccines produce immunity that is better and faster. They can also be given earlier to puppies, and only one dose is needed. The duration of the immunity is the same for all options. And just note that one can boost to the other.
Good work.
And now it's dessert time. Marcus, you mentioned a few episodes ago that you were moving from Finland to Jordan. What in the world are you doing over there?
Well, I met a vet who has a project with a university in the UK on the camels, especially with the Bedouin people. And they're looking at a virus called MERS. So it is a zoonotic disease that can spread from camels to humans as it's a coronavirus. So they were curious about how prevalent it is in the population, how many camels have it or have had it in the past, and how many people have been exposed to it. So I'm over here adventuring through the desert and helping out with this project. And it's been a bit slow getting started, but we've made a couple of visits and it's really cool getting to meet the local people here and all of these huge, crazy camels which want to bite you and spit it. Well, they don't really spit like llamas, but they like, I'll post a video sometime on Instagram and you guys, because words don't do it justice, what an angry camel looks like, honestly. But it's been really special. We had some time to go to Petra, which is built by the Nabateans, by the way. I had to look that up. I didn't know it off the top of my head, but and that's beautiful. Those cave that's been carved out of the rock. It's like looks like a temple or like a palace carved out of stone.
I've been to Petra before, actually.
Have you?
Quite a few years ago. Yeah, and I think it's a whole city. It's a whole city carved into the rock, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Because I thought I was just going to look at one thing, and then I realized that like 8 hours later of walking around the whole place, I hadn't even seen it all. There was like thousands of caves,
yeah.
And people still living in the caves. There's like over 200 Bedouin people still living in Petra, like actually in the caves.
Oh, really?
It's wild. Yeah, it's wild. I met a few of them. Yeah, it's an awesome place. Highly recommend. And Wadi Rum Desert is beautiful. That's where they filmed like Star Wars and Indiana Jones and I think Martian. Yeah, they filmed Martian there. They film Doom there, that new movie that's awesome and everyone should go watch, by the way. It's beautiful.
And Lawrence of Arabia, is that right?
That's the one. Yeah, I was trying to remember the name of that one.
That's all I heard of when I was there.
I haven't actually seen it, to be honest.
Oh, neither have I.
Oh, well, that's our homework to watch that movie. Someone can send us a message and tell us if it's worth watching or not.
That's right. I remember when I was in Petra and I was walking, I was there by myself and I was walking sort of back to the entrance and a little boy on his horse came up and said, miss, like, do you want a horse ride? Because they're always trying to sell you horse rides, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't, but I kind of wanted to talk to him. And I just said, oh, how old are you? And I said, what's your horse's name? And he said his horse's name was Michael Jackson. And that's all I remember of that conversation.
That's so funny. That reminded me, my wife was talking to this girl. She looked like about 14. And she was saying, yo, you're so beautiful. I love your, like, tent and your shop's so beautiful. And the girl was kind of talking with her, but I could see she like clearly wanted to sell on or something, but she was just telling her how beautiful, like, because my wife's so sweet to everybody. And then after the girl could see that Anna wasn't going to buy something, she was just like, give me biscuit. And Anna was like, okay, I, because we didn't have any biscuits or anything. So we just had to leave. But it kind of became the joke whenever Anna tried to talk to me after that. I just said, give me biscuit.
Well, it seems like Anna needs to actually have biscuits on her all the time now when you're going around.
Yeah, next time we go, I'm going to carry some biscuits because I felt bad. Like, I think the kids, they like it when the tourists give them some biscuits.
But... Never take anything from strangers, but unless it's biscuits.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening in today, and we hope you found this helpful. If so, please share this podcast to all your family, friends, and workmates. And if you're listening in on Apple Podcasts, don't forget to leave us a rating and review.
And then follow us on Instagram. I've got some pics of my Jordan adventures ready to post. Salam malakum.
Salam malakum.